Welcome to episode 88 of the Pickup Podcast. It's the Dez Bryant edition, Michael Irvin edition, Greg Olsen edition. You know what I'm saying? 88 in the building. Got the boys, Reggie, Ant, in here. We're going to talk about some of the early college hoops season, things that have been going on, and we're going to, of course, get to the big college football playoffs and some other bowl matchups that have been officially set with the final rankings. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Chill. Booyaga, boy.
My boys. All right, so college hoops.
I will say to you, Ant.
What's good?
I still think college basketball is more, what's the word? I guess I will say fun to watch. You know what I'm saying? I would rather randomly turn on. I feel like I will have more luck turning on a random college basketball game and enjoying it than turning on a random NBA game, if you feel what I'm saying.
I feel what you're saying. That could happen. I think
I feel like that debate falls in a lot, you know?
I feel what you're saying. I feel like this. You might be able to see a closer game or a more entertaining game, possibly, but the actual play of the game is going to be horrible. That's how I've been feeling about college basketball for, like, a while now. Farther into the one-and-done kind of era, just because people aren't staying, so you don't have people kind of developing all the really good players. They leave, and so kind of the players are still there, but it shows that they're like why they're still in college to me. But
I say that to say that that's pretty much all I've done this year is like randomly catch a game or two. Mm-hmm. And you know, I wanted to ask, I guess I'll ask you too, since you heard it, do you feel like the same, and this is kind of bouncing back, but do you feel like the same is on course for college sports in general? It being just a drop off in talent, that making it less of a kind of entertaining to watch
to see it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Just because see, I don't...
the NBA is just a higher, such a, the gap is so much more noticeable. Because all these dudes, I mean, it's hype. Like you're watching college now, it's just guys with hype and potential, right? You're watching like Imani Bates for Memphis. It's a 17-year-old. So you're like, oh, damn, like, this is a 17-year-old kid playing college, but you're actually watching them, and it's like, okay, it's not the same as watching like a 18-year-old like that was in the NBA who was actually ready for the NBA. Mm-hmm. It's just different, just different levels. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know that's kind of cliche to say, but it literally just like an entirely different level of expectation of what you're seeing on the screen. But I enjoy it because those people, they lose more. And I don't know if that's a good way to say it, but, you know, there's always a higher chance of that team losing. Like, you know, like I said, Purdue was the number one team that I thought was the best-looking team in the country. and then they go lose to Rutgers, right? Like, that's the kind of shit that you turn on college hoops for.
Ron Harper Jr., shout out. Yeah. Making me feel real old, too.
That's actually exactly what I was about to ask you next was, did you feel like Purdue was the true number one? And now that they're obviously not going to be when the rankings come out, who do you feel is the true best team in the nation, even if they don't get ranked number one? So I feel like obviously Baylor's probably going to take that top spot.
Correct.
Just I don't off like the Baylor strength. As the number one team in the nation.
I mean – give them their credit. They're coming off a national championship run, and they're still undefeated. The teams in front of them have lost. Gonzaga's lost twice. I didn't see that coming. Especially after the way they handled UCLA a couple days before they played Duke in that tournament. So I was like, and then obviously, of course, they played Duke extremely close. That game really could have went either way.
Absolutely.
I thought Gonzaga was still looking like a top 2-3 team in the country. And then directly after that, they went back and they struggled versus some team that just made D1. I don't even remember the name of that team, but they easily beat them by,
I got
like,
you.
I think it might have been Tarleton State.
No, Tarleton.
You know what? My bad. Yeah,
that's what
they
it
beat
was.
Them by 15.
Because Tarleton, yeah, they beat them by like
by nine. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Tarleton, so, and everyone, Texas. But it was closer than that. You know, it was closer than that during the game. And so everyone's like, this team, Tarleton, literally just made D1 ranks like a year ago. So we're talking about your team that was just in the national championship struggling like that. And obviously, like I said, that's off the heels of them playing Duke and taking that game to the wire. That's what I turn into college hoops for, because you never know whose time it might be. Like, hey, sometimes it's your time to lose. But, yeah, so I was thinking Gonzaga was a top three team. They're looking kind of iffy. Just that their defense is hit or miss. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're getting a foul trouble with one of their bigs, and it's a wrap. That's kind of what happened with them with Duke. Both of their bigs got in foul trouble. I didn't really watch the Tarleton game. But I saw something similar was happening there. They're not deep as I thought they were. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Do y'all – sorry.
No, you good.
I was going to ask both of y'all, because of your ages, do y'all look at Gonzaga as a powerhouse? Have they been good since y'all pretty much been watching college basketball? Because someone made that point that to a younger generation, Gonzaga is like a powerhouse because they kind of have been good for like the last 15 years or so.
It's crazy that you asked that, because up until moving out here, I always thought that I had no idea that Gonzaga was not like some big time upper echelon, you know, private. I thought I knew it was probably a private school of some sort, but I did not know that this was like their up and coming, especially being from Spokane, Washington, which like is some odd hours away from Seattle. It's out there in nowhere, you know? The only thing out there is Gonzaga, and they live for that. That blew my mind. So, yeah.
I know for me, as a kid, elementary school, you know, I remember the Adam Morrison days, right? And he was, like, National Player of the Year and all that shit, and went to the Bobcats and shit, because I heard all about Gonzaga since then. So, to me, like, I guess you would say, for my lifetime, they've been that good.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, the only time Gonzaga really got brought up, the only time I remember them is probably I had a John Stockton like basketball card, and it, you know, said that he went to Gonzaga. Like, because I was like, what the fuck is Gonzaga? And then they started getting in a tournament, and they would do little runs and stuff here and there. But that those little runs here and there started to be like every year runs. You know what I'm saying? And so I was just curious, because I think Bomani Jones brought that up, like how for younger like people, like Gonzaga is like, they're Gonzaga. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not just some college out in the middle of nowhere. They're like kind of a powerhouse. So, and some of the ones that I grew up that were powerhouses are not anymore.
Yeah, like Indiana.
Yeah.
Some young kids right now, you talk about Indiana as one of the blue blood, you know, technically. One of the blue bloods of college basketball, kids be like, "The fuck is in Indiana a blue blood?"
Yeah, exactly.
Even like probably more UCLA. Likely to play Gonzaga over them.
Like UCLA's ranked high right now, but they like when I was growing up, they had a run. But I guess way before, maybe when our fathers were growing up, they had a crazy run. But like even then, even after they won that championship when I was a kid, they still had like amazing talent coming in, like Baron Davis and shit like that. Whereas now they're kind of, which is crazy because they're in LA, but I guess they're kind of not. I guess USC is more LA than geographically, apparently. But that's always crazy to me is how they kind of haven't recovered and got back in the game, you know. So
for me, absolutely. UCLA had, what was that run of teams with Kevin Love, Russell Westbrook, Darren Collison.
They went
to like
a good point guard.
Yeah, they went to like three or four Final Fours in a row, and then there was nothing until like Lonzo. There was a long drought.
I don't even remember that. Like, I remember Westbrook and Kevin Love being on that team, I think, with Collison. I don't even remember them going to the Final Four, to be honest. I remember them being like pretty good and stuff, but it was more like looking back in hindsight what they did in the NBA to be like, yo, how didn't they win a chip or whatever? But I think the same thing for, like, Texas. They had like Aldridge and Tristan Thompson, and I want to say someone else on the same team. And I kind of remember it, but, you know, kind of don't at the same time.
I think it was like DJ Augustine.
Yeah, it might have been, because I think it was. It was definitely like a guard or wing or something.
Yeah.
For sure.
But, there's a bunch of teams out there that, you know, they're relevant, but they're not necessarily like powerhouses, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
like every year.
And I feel like a lot of your old blue bloods from, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s have kind of fallen into that, to where you start discussing that with younger people who might have only seen the last 15, 20 years of hoops. They'd be like I said, talking about Indiana, their last championship that they won is like in the 80s. They'd be like, who gives a fuck about that shit? Like, especially if it was 20 years before they were born, these 2000 kids. Like, I don't give a fuck about Indiana.
I'm going to be real. The majority of my childhood, Indiana wasn't like a team – wasn't a team that, to be fair, like, I knew, like, Bobby Knight and the tradition, but I think they were still living off of the shit they did in the 80s. And so it's been actually a while since they were, like, a team where you were, like, coming into the year, like, yo, they might win a championship. Like, I don't remember those years for Indiana growing up.
Or as I think there was maybe, like, 2 years with Tom Crean where they had the Zeller.
Where they had what's the dude?
Oladipo. Nigerian
dude? Oladipo, yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, for real, and I was, like, grown by then.
Yeah.
Don't really remember. I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember them having anybody, like, that crazy.
They had Yogi Ferrell. He was fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember.
He really was good in college.
I think they had, like, Cal Bercheny or somebody like that when I was a kid. That was really good, and that's when they were good. But other than that, don't remember anybody. Yeah.
So it's crazy how it's changing on the landscape. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
No, I was saying, so you said you don't like Baylor as a number one team. Is there a particular reason?
I just feel like Baylor is the last team to have had to meet that test, you know? All the other teams have met their test. Baylor is at the beneficiary of being undefeated because of that. I'm not saying that they're not talented. Me personally, though, I kind of – like UCLA a bit more, UCLA or Duke, honestly, being as the more complete team to contend all the way through. I definitely can see both of those teams making another deep run throughout. I'm scared to see Baylor in another 30 days.
Hey, Baylor plays Villanova tomorrow.
They're tomorrow, yeah. That's what I was getting ready to say.
There you go.
But I'm looking at their schedule. You're right. You're right. Because, they, I mean, other than, like, I mean,
Michigan State is not good this year.
There's no, yeah, because I'm looking at like VCU, Stanford, and they blew the break. Damn, they beat the brakes off Stanford. So that means they VCU's must not be
probably
that
their
good.
Best game. And I mean, VCU is a tough team, but again, VCU isn't a team that I would look at on another team schedule like Duke and say, oh, this is a worrisome game, you know? And they kind of gave some fear into Baylor's hearts. Baylor did lose their two best defenders and their two best playmakers as well. So, I mean, looking into that, I really am curious to see how tomorrow goes. I think it'll be a true test, and we might be looking at another number one team by next week or by Monday.
Yeah. I actually really like Villanova as well. I know Villanova had the early loss, but – I think this is – well, they got two losses, actually.
Yeah, UCLA and Purdue, but at least they're good teams.
I saw the Purdue one. I forgot about the UCLA one. But, yeah. You know, we're talking about two teams that I think are up, you know, definitely in the top. Team that I probably would put in a two-seed contention going down later in the line around March. But have y'all – well, I know, Ant, you probably haven't seen as much to answer this fully, but Reggie, who do you think actually looks like contenders, like with March potential?
Honestly, scary season is among us. I think we might see a real true run out of Alabama team this year.
Yes,
I'm glad you mentioned that. That's probably one of my favorites right now. Them and UCLA are probably my two, I feel like, the strongest teams. I can't talk about Duke because anytime I do, bad things happen. So we'll leave that out the door.
Understandable. I was going to say, Alabama looks like one of those teams that is poised to make a run. They might not get a one seed by the end of the year, just based off the pedigree of a few teams in front of them. But they are definitely on my watch list for a two or probably a two seed, maybe three seed. That'll end up, that'll end up making a run that I think they definitely have late March Final Four potential. A deep team that didn't lose a ton, right? Shackelford is a dog. What's the other dude? The other guard.
What, Ellis?
Ellis. Nah, he's a dog. I mean,
they're all dogs.
And then they have,
I think that's probably the toughest team in college basketball, I would say. Taking the ranks of what we saw Baylor do last year and just can lately, in the late of the season, just go down and dominate people one-on-one. I think that's the Alabama team I'm putting my money on.
And it's crazy because, you know, we're talking about 3-4 years ago, like, Alabama was kind of put on the map basketball-wise with Colin Sexton. Mm-hmm. And it was like his run was kind of premature for that team. But this, they've actually kept it going. And yeah, as far as contenders that can make a run, like Alabama, I already talked about the two at the top that I like. I like Purdue. I like Duke. Gonzaga, I would have thought, but like I said, their depth, and especially when it comes to defense, their offense is impeccable. Best offense, I think. I don't know if I say best offense in the country, but they run their offense like pristine, like a machine. I've never seen, like, it's almost like San Antonio Spurs, like prime San Antonio Spurs with Duncan and Ginobili and Parker level passing. Excellent ball.
Love it. So, the NBA, it appears the NBA and college basketball right now has parity. Do at least more than it's had in a long time. Do y'all think that's good for the game? Do y'all think that's more entertaining to y'all? What do y'all feel about that? So I'm curious.
Nobody likes the whole season for a foregone conclusion, you know, 5-10 games in, right, as far as college basketball. Like, when you know for facts, like, remember those years with Kentucky where Kentucky was starting, like, 20-0 and shit like that, or when Duke had, you know, Zion them and they started, like 15-1 or some stupid shit like that. And niggas were like, well, we're going to see these guys in March. So it's fun. That is fun in and of itself, but it's really just fun to see the letdown, right? Yeah. We got about 6-7 different teams that I think have a legitimate shot at winning a championship, and I would much rather have that every single year instead of just waiting for one team to fail.
What about you, Roger?
Yeah, honestly – yes and no.
I think Marcus make a compelling, like, kind of argument on that. I do also think, I think as a whole, not just me, you like enjoy rooting against, like, the dynasty or whatever, like those Golden State years, more so in the NBA, like the Golden State years, like. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't think a lot of people are still watching the season, even though it's, like, competitive. I think people tune in to either hate a certain squad or cheer for a certain squad, and I don't think people really have necessarily, like, the bad guy or the boogeyman in the NBA. And it can work both ways, like how Marcus is saying, you know, you'll tune in more for, like, a legit handful of teams that have a chance. But at the same time, I think it could also work the other way, where it was like when Golden State was playing, well, their run they had before, I watched a lot of Golden State games and I didn't even like them. You know what I'm saying? Didn't like them.
Just hoping the niggas lose.
Yep. And I don't know. But I don't know, because I do overall like not knowing. I do like not knowing, like, at least with the NBA, for sure. I think more with college, I kind of miss the knowing, like, okay, these guys are going to be good, but who's going to be better kind of thing. You know, mm-hmm. like, if you know Duke's going to be good, Kentucky's going to be good, Kansas used to be UNC, and some other colleges, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, who's going to be better this year? This year, I don't know who those teams are, like we were saying. I mean, well, y'all were saying, like, Purdue and stuff like that, but going in, I wouldn't have known that, you know? Mm-hmm. So this could be interesting. It could be for a better tournament.
Too. Or like going back to what you said earlier, part of the reason I'm not knowing is because we're going based off of a lot of younger talent. There's guys that are, you know, freshmen and sophomores. They're good 1 year, and if they're really good, they're gone. And if they're not all that good, they're coming back, right? And then you got some guys that make a second year leap, and that's kind of hard to foresee. With a lot of dudes, right? So you don't necessarily know that some of these teams are going to be good when they're built like that. But as far as like an entertainment factor, when it comes to March, everyone's, you know, we make our brackets and bet and shit. And we don't like having, like, I actually like it when, you know, there's a, you know, jeopardy of being, all right, well, I'm not going to get all four of my number one teams in the Final Four. Yeah. Like that, like, oh, I forgot. It was the year Duke won a championship in 2015. I think it was four number ones that made the Final Four.
If I remember correctly. When it comes to, like, the tournament, I like the Cinderellas, the upsets at the, like, the first weekend. After that, I want the good teams in.
Yeah.
Because you start seeing just how bad some of these teams are, like, or they had a good night, and then you're like, yeah, they ain't ready. They get blown out by the real team, so – when it comes down to the Final Four, I do want, like, the actual good teams, and I prefer them not to get upset, but everyone else under them to get upset.
Understandable. As far as the NBA goes, I mean, I like the parity because as someone who's a fan of a team that's not – I'm not a player fan, right? Like, I have favorite players, but I'm not, like, jump ship with my favorite player everywhere they go. Yeah. So – if you're, like, an actual Cleveland fan, you should be excited. Like, an actual Cleveland fan. You should be excited now that someone other than LeBron and whoever else is going to end up in the finals every year, right?
Yeah.
Cleveland, being who they, like, are, they have young talent. Like, they have Garland. They have Sexton. They have Jared Allen. They got, you know, a strong bench shooting, they got Lauri Markkanen and all that stuff, and they're actually playing really solid basketball. They're gonna make the playoffs this year, right? So you gotta feel like it's like, because, you know, in football they always say, oh, just make a playoffs and you have a chance. It's never been like that in the NBA. You gotta win four games, and so just making the playoffs isn't good enough. But when you have a field as open as it is right now, you know, you gotta feel like you have a chance, right?
You should.
It makes it mean more, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And as a Hornets fan, I know we're not going to win a championship. I know we're not close. But the fact that we're in playoff contention right now, and obviously it's early in the season, we haven't even made it to Christmas yet. But, you know, we're sitting here, we're playing against the Bucks without half the team out for COVID for 2 weeks. And then we're playing against the 76ers. And, you know, we lost three games in that stretch. But, you know, by combined – what, like 8 points or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, playing really well with not a lot of people, getting the rookies involved. Like, James Booknight last night had his coming out party against the Kings, and we barely won that game by one. But then you start thinking, oh, well, we're doing this with, you know, 5-6 players out, including LaMelo, Terry, and, like, a few other players, important players. So when they come back, you have hope. And that's – part and due to the fact that, I mean, the Bucks won a championship last year, which they would clearly have been the best team in the East since LeBron has left. So it's not like it was like some underdog per se, right? But it's just the fact that it was someone that wasn't LeBron, Steph, KD winning a ring. You got to feel like they did their little slow build, so anyone else can also, especially if they don't keep it together.
The East is looking real competitive because you got the 10th team is only 5.5 out from first place. Whereas the West,
that shit is insane how competitive it is.
Yeah, like
I want to say it's like right one game separating 3-8.
It's one game separating 4-8 and 2-4-9. 2.5, 4-10, actually. Yeah, so that's crazy.
That's why, like, because the Hornets lost 2 to the 76ers back-to-back on Monday and Wednesday. Yeah. And that dropped them from, like, 4th in the standings to 8th. And it dropped it pushed the Sixers up into the playoff rank above us. And I was like, yeah, it's just something as simple as that, right? You lose a back-to-back, and it just so happened to be against the same team. I mean, this is shaking stuff up. But this is the kind of stuff where it's like, well, the regular season matters now. Because you're talking about some, we already know it's Golden State and Cleveland for 4-5 years straight or whatever the fuck it was.
I'm going to be real. I think I'm going to get on the Charlotte bandwagon. I'm officially become a Charlotte Hornets fan for the first time.
Dude, there's no better time than right now.
And I don't know if I could be called a bandwagoner because it's not like they're like tearing shit up. They're in eighth place right now, so. I'm going to go ahead and jump on it because I actually like their young players, and I think they're going to be there for a while, be a staple. So, like Miles Bridges and Melo. I even liked Terry Rozier when he was in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to jump on the bandwagon, man, because I was a player fan or whatever you want to call it, and I'm done with LeBron. I think he's, like, cooked. I mean, he's probably still good, but I don't care anymore. I kind of want him to retire after this year. Just because I'm kind of I feel like it's not his league anymore. It's not his league anymore. I don't care about what's going on. And honestly, the Lakers, I guess I was just thinking about this week. I guess you got to weigh, like, would you rather go and have a championship and then be horrible, like, in years to come? Would you take the championship in the horrible years after? Or would you want some balance? And it depends on what your answer is, if L.A. did the right thing, because Anthony Davis, I think, I'm comfortable saying he's one of the more overrated players. Like, he's dependent on someone else, like LeBron being there and stuff to be perfect, kind of, for him to really excel in games that actually matter. And he's not going to carry a team. I don't feel like if it's on him to carry a team, like – he might carry a team and you're not expected to be him to do it, but he won't do it when you're like, yo, it's got to be him. And I think LA has, I mean, if they're cool with having the championship in the bubble, though I value it just like any other championship, a lot of people don't. If they're cool with that, then they made the right move, because I think they're going to be horrible after he retires, and they're going to have to rebuild. More than likely, unless someone really good wants to just go to LA. I think they're going to be horrible. They're not going to have draft picks, so they're not going to be able to do it through the draft either. And I just don't see them really constructing a good team through free agency, because I think when you really think about it, not too many teams actually have been constructed. Championship winning teams have been constructed through free agency. There's a few here and there that has happened like that, but most of people, they built through the draft, and maybe they got a free agent and put him over the top. I think LA's done, and I think Bron's done, and I hope he retires, even though I don't think he will, because I feel like he'll do a whole show of it. So we'll know beforehand that he's retiring.
I think he said he wants to stay in the league long enough to play with his son, Bronny.
What the fuck does that even matter?
I mean, just something that he can say he did.
Yeah, I guess, but – I don't care.
No one else that fan I know of has done.
I don't care as a fan.
Something else that personally, he can say that he did that Jordan didn't, so he can put it on his GOAT resume. He played till he was because he'll have to be at least another junior, 2 more years.
Huh? Yeah, and his son's a junior now, right?
Yeah. I'm thinking it's more likely LeBron retires and then sits a year or two and then comes back out of retirement.
And that would be such more a likely dog and pony show, and I would roll my eyes at that shit, to be honest.
It wouldn't even be worth it at that point.
It's up to him. I mean, obviously it's up to him and whatever, his prerogative, but I'm kind of just over Bron. Like, and I've been a fan since he first one on ESPN, play that game, whatever. I've been a fan because I felt like he's always lived up to the hype. And I know myself, if I had all that attention, there's no way I could have dealt with it the way he has. But I'm over it. I don't think it's his league anymore. And I'm ready to see who's it's going to be and, like, just the future. It all, even the media coverage being all dependent on Bron. And I'm ready for the next, you know, the next era. You know what I'm saying?
So I saw a question asked. I think it's by Stephen A. Smith. Take that for what you will. But it was like, has Steph Curry overtaken LeBron as the icon of the league?
Icon of the league?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think kids want to be like Bron. I don't think kids growing up want to be like Bron. They more want to be like Steph. I do think that. I mean, I don't even know how you measure that. I feel like he had his era, but Steph's era, Steph's career blended in with LeBron's, so he hasn't had an era. He's just been a part of LeBron's, sort of, but and he's too old to have his own. Like, if he was, like, 3-4 years old, younger, then, yeah, I could say, like, okay, this is when LeBron fell off or whatever, and it's now Steph's league and his era started. But Steph's, like, what, 32 or something, 33?
Yeah.
Like, he'll be retiring in a few years, too, more than likely.
I don't know, man. The way Steph is playing right now, Steph is literally playing the last 2 years is some of his best ball. Like, he's still in his prime.
I do think he's in his prime, but I do think people fall off a cliff, like, out of nowhere, kind of. Or it's like, I don't know. He can shoot, and that would kill him in the league. His play style is
going to – he's going to just turn into Klay Thompson.
But my thing is, a lot of what Steph is tiring out the other guys, too. And once you get older and all the different injuries he's had, I think that will start to show. Right now, I do think he's still in his prime. Like, he just had those injuries, and they had bad teams, and they did the right thing and just sitting him out for what he had, like a broken finger or hand, and he just ended up sitting out basically the rest of the year. I thought that was smart because they knew they were trash. I do think they're going to have their second run, which is crazy because I guess some teams do, but like maybe the Spurs Bulls had like two runs, you could say, with kind of the same core. So I am looking forward to this run for them. And I'm actually going to be rooting for them more as opposed to the first time around I was rooting against them, which is kind of funny. But yeah. So y'all think this is his era, or I know it's not Bron's league anymore.
I definitely think it is. And it's funny because I think I was reading some tweets earlier today, actually, where someone was arguing that, like, Steph Curry doesn't have a, like, following. Like, people don't aspire to be like him and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I thought that was just straight up.
Are you crazy? Have you been watching basketball the last like 7 years?
I had to just pull away because I was like, man, that's insane. But, like, that's even a conversation, getting engagements, because it's obvious. You know, you look at certain players in the NBA that literally are exactly Trae Young. There's like a splitting image of Steph Curry. And I'm not saying that, you know, Trae Young grew up and wanted to be Steph Curry. But Steph Curry paved the way for that type of play style, and it is now imminent in the way people play NBA basketball.
Bam. It's Trae Young said that. You could pick any level of basketball, middle school, AAU, high school, college. And he's a matter of fact, you can pick one of his peers. He's influenced one of his peers. I feel like he's influenced Dame Lillard. I feel like if there's no Steph, he's not taking those logo shots.
Absolutely.
And if he is, he's not feeling comfortable about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't know if there's ever been a player that at least doesn't jump out at me that was kind of at the top of the league that also was influencing how other stars in the league that were their rivals too, how they played, like as far as playing like them, you know, at least somewhat.
Do you
like
think
them.
He has a bigger influence in the league than like AI did? Because AI had a huge influence on and off the court. But he also
you're talking
had
about
a very,
just basketball?
Very big influence of people of how people play basketball and how people grew up to play basketball. But I honestly feel like Steph is much bigger.
Question. That's a good question.
I think they're about equal as far as because I think AI was really the turning point in guard play being the forefront
dominant
of the league. You know what I'm saying? Where
absolutely
your point guard leading the team, being your leading scorer. Which is not like unheard of, obviously, because you had like your Isaiah Thomas of the world.
Well, right? See, AI play like two, though.
But that's the thing. Like, it's just a size thing. Though. It's a visual when you're watching. And like, oh, little guy score, so that's okay.
And his style, his like street ball style, brought into the NBA certain things that elements of people that just weren't doing.
Right. And people see themselves and they be like, oh, he can do that. I can do that.
Absolutely.
I think actual gameplay, Steph had more like influence, but culture wise and everything else, AI did. Because
You can go ahead.
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, because a lot of the things that AI does as far as, like, the ISO ball and stuff, I think a lot of that started a little bit before him. It's really a element of Jordan, kind of, but it was just the fact that it was a smaller dude doing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. If they got him help, he could have been a point guard. Because he was a point guard in college. Like, fortunately, I got to see him play in college multiple times, and he was their point guard. And, I mean, he definitely, you know, he had a good squad, too, in Georgetown. And, you know, of course, he was a leading scorer and all that. But, I mean, this dude was amazing. And he could have been a good point guard in the league. But I don't know if mentally maybe he was willing to be one. But if they actually had players around, I mean, they had, like, Aaron McKee and Matt Geiger and Mutombo and – Eric Snow, those guys aren't creating shit, or they're not, like, no one's game planning for them. And so there was never, like, a real other threat there in Philly for him to, like, kind of feed off of, you know what I mean? So he kind of had he definitely, you know, I was critical of Luka, but he's definitely has been in a situation, even though I think Luka's had more help so far, but he's definitely kind of in that situation where it's like, while I critique him, he kind of has to do what he does because who else is going to do it, right?
Right.
You know, so, but yeah. Shout out to AI, man.
Shout out to AI.
And I heard he's got a dope strand of weed with Al Harrington.
Shout out to Big Al. Big Al Harrington.
Yeah, man. Viola. Shout out to that. I need to get my hands on some of that. That brand's going up.
Look, man, I'm glad to see a lot of black owners are getting into this industry now that it's spreading. Because you know how that usually goes. It's illegal.
Oh, yeah.
And then someone ends up making money, right? And it's not the people that were demonized for it.
Yeah.
Typically. But
big tobacco. Watch out for them.
But, yeah, I'm going to switch it up real quick to this college football, and then we can dip.
All right.
We got the playoff matchups finally settled in. Thank God that we didn't get no Notre Dame. I did not need that. but obviously we have number one, Alabama, after beating Georgia, number two, Michigan, and then number three, Georgia, and number four, Cincinnati. We have Alabama, Cincinnati, Michigan, Georgia. What do you guys think of this playoff matchup? Obviously we have, you know, a few more weeks before that actually comes, but you guys got any predictions or whatnot?
The year for a Georgia Alabama rematch, and it should have been.
Wait a minute, say that again.
It should have been Alabama and Georgia at 2 and 3, and they should have been playing each other again. In my fair and honest opinion. Other than that, I like the way it's going to go. I think that Michigan Cincinnati is going to be a fun. Or not Michigan, Alabama, Cincinnati is going to be a fun game, but I don't think Alabama's going to hold back, and that's not going to be good for the rest of the league, so to say. And I don't have a dog in the Michigan Georgia fight. I just hope it's a good of a game as the Alabama Georgia game was.
Yeah, I think that's going to depend on their quarterback for Georgia. Excuse me. if he plays good. Not even great. I think Georgia will win. But if not, I got Michigan, Alabama in the championship game, and I got Alabama winning that. I'm not really betting against Nick Saban at this point in my life, man. That just don't make sense to.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I'm a little disappointed in the Georgia performance because I was really looking forward to Georgia and Cincinnati matchup. Simply because I just want Cincinnati to be in the championship game, and I wanted to see them upset Georgia because I 100% believe it could have happened. Maybe not in the exact same way that Alabama did it, but in a similar fashion. Because their defense is the only defense. Well, Cincinnati is the only team in the country that has top 10 in offense and top 10 in defense at the same time.
Sauce Gardner.
I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Y'all would know better than me. Is Georgia, was that just an anomaly of a game, or was Georgia defense working on some fraud insurance the whole year?
I think it's very true that Nick Saban has a chokehold on the men that have worked for him, and that's just like that's it.
Belichick too?
Or absolutely, but I think Nick Saban's is like super firm, like extremely firm. Like they all might as well just go back to his staff, and they do whenever they fizzle out.
Yeah.
I mean, Jimbo Fisher this year was the first one to ever beat him, ever.
Damn.
At Texas A&M. So, you're talking about a stranglehold against his former staff, like, it's bad. And then of the ones that have played against Saban multiple times, Kirby Smart is by far the worst. Kirby Smart will – I think Nick Saban probably took it personally. The fact that many people had Georgia beating him, he was like, y'all forget, like, Kirby will never out-coach me, ever. Like, we're talking about, okay, so obviously, like, okay, we're talking about Georgia ever since the last national championship they were in, where they had the quarterback issue with Fields versus Fromm, and then they had, now they have JT Daniels and fuck boy's name, Stetson Bennett, right?
Yeah,
Stetson.
We got, and I mean, and that was really a controversy from injury, right? JT Daniels was your starter for sure, and then Stetson, you know, he got injured. Stetson Bennett came in, but Stetson Bennett didn't play bad, and so JT Daniels got healthy again. And he was mixing them back in, you know, running like two quarterbacks. But then end of the season, he was like, "Well, you know, Stetson's been rolling, so we're just gonna roll with him," right? And now I think you gotta. More of a controversy because it's like, do you stick with Stetson Bennett?
Because of one game, you know?
Right, you got three, 4 weeks going into this, you know, bowl matchup against Michigan.
Yeah.
It's about 3-4 weeks. You might as well, you know, give your reps to your best guy for 4 weeks straight going into the game instead of playing this game, right?
Yeah.
Between two dudes.
Dude, you got to – for one, you can't do the whole we're going to use two people thing. And you're right. You got all these weeks. You got time to prepare. It's not like this guy came from another team and he has to learn a whole playbook over. He just got to prepare for this game, you know. So you got to play your best quarterback, man. Fuck all that shit, man.
The fact that he doesn't have the balls to do that, Kirby Smart does not have the balls to do that, but – goddamn, Nick Saban had the balls to make a quarterback change at halftime of the national championship game.
Dog.
To beat fucking Smart. Like, come
you
on.
You got
like,
to, dog.
There's levels to this shit.
Exactly. And that's
what we'll never see. Saban.
That's the definition. Because I was just about to say, too, I guarantee you, in some format, we will see two quarterbacks play against Michigan. In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
We'll see two quarterbacks play against Michigan, but it's not going to be in any way, shape, or form like he made a decision. It'll be more like I have a two quarterback game plan because I couldn't make a decision.
Hey, can y'all remind me when he made that switch? Alabama wasn't getting their ass whooped. They were just Hurts wasn't playing very good, right? So to have the balls to were we wrong?
Nah, it was like what 17-6 or something like that. They weren't getting whooped, but I mean the offense was not doing the damn thing.
Dog, like I think a lot of coaches. Would have just stayed with their guy.
I don't see a scenario unless you've thrown 3-4 picks going into halftime.
Yeah.
Where a coach is like going to definitely say, you know what? Fuck you. We're moving to someone else. At halftime of the national championship.
Yeah. Well, and the guy who it wasn't like he probably played in some of those blowout games, but it wasn't like he played like meaningful ball the whole season, I don't think.
Not really. Yeah, he got those fourth quarter, you know, blowouts. Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. Tua had the fact that he did have game time. He was a five-star recruit. He wasn't just like some regular whoever backup.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, Jalen Hurts actually was not that good. Leading up, like the game that they played against Clemson in the semifinal game. That was a painful-ass game to watch. Kelly Bryant, and I love Kelly Bryant. Kelly Bryant and Jalen Hurts playing against each other. It was that game was won. You know how sometimes they sell, oh, it was a defensive game? Like, it was good defense, but you also recognize bad offense when you see
it. Yeah.
It was very bad offensive play from two quarterbacks. And the worst quarterback just lost is what essentially happened. And then you go from that game directly into the first half of the national championship game. I think a good coach like Nick Saban doesn't hesitate to make that switch, because it's not like this was just like, oh, he had a one-off bad half. He had nerves. He's shaking it off. Like, nah, he was like, something's up. And he's not ready for the moment.
Yeah. And we kind of knew, like, Hurts was limited. Like, everyone knew that, kind of, but it just never mattered.
Bradley will also come in and immediately get, like, punched in the face and then throws, like, an insane dart to Devontae Smith on, like, third and 26.
Yeah.
Because I remember I was rooting for fucking Georgia in that game.
It was a beautiful time to be alive.
Hard. Oh, I was rooting for Georgia hard on that game, and that shit happened. I was like, motherfucker. Who the fuck is this guy?
But, yeah. Man. Michigan is a team that I think throughout the seasons had to kind of prove themselves, like, time and again. Their defense has been top-notch also. That's not one thing I do like, is we have a matchup where basically all four teams are elite in defense. I want to say all four teams are ranked in the top 10 in most defensive metrics, right? So I don't anticipate us seeing any overwhelming blowouts or some embarrassing-ass terrible game to watch. So I think this might be the first time in a while that we might actually get the matchups that I think we deserve as far as a college football playoff, which is, you know, as much as people want to extend the playoffs, like, the games haven't been that good up before the championship game. So it's kind
of, you extended, you had a better chance of finding a good game.
I mean, yeah, but you also had the worst chance of
having bad games too.
Yeah.
There's like NCAA tournament. Once you saw all the games, you saw all the bad games instead of just.
Yeah. But you know, I feel like the one-off bowl games that usually the other New Year's Day bowls, those are some good, definitely good matchups. It wouldn't hurt to throw those in the mix. I'm definitely one in favor of a larger college football playoff.
I'd definitely go the opposite way. I wanted to say exactly how it is. Maybe six at the most, and you give buys, but I'm not in favor of them playing more.
I like six and a bye. I don't think you should have more weeks. I like six and a bye. I think there should be more opportunities.
Okay. Yeah. I'm down for that.
Like, I wouldn't be mad if you said, well, because I don't like giving passes to teams, right? Because there's some conferences where shit's just not that good. But I'm pretty sure every conference champion is like a one or two loss team. It's not like out of the realm that I think conference champions and then at large get in.
Absolutely.
If you had six teams, you got your power five and an at large.
You want Pitt in?
I was going to say, I wouldn't mind seeing Pitt. I'd rather see Pitt than Notre Dame.
Over Notre Dame and Ohio State.
If I was watching Notre Dame, would be in at large. I would pick Pitt.
Notre Dame is in a conference. Oklahoma State game
would be super fun.
Notre Dame's in a conference in football? Or are they still independent?
It's still independent. Last year, in 2020, because everything was only conference play, they joined the ACC just for last season.
Oh, okay.
Which is some bullshit. They really just need to make them join the ACC. They're ACC and everything else.
I was just about to do a hot take and say, who the fuck does Notre Dame think they are? I know who they were, but – like, they're still independent. Fuck out of here, y'all. Get off your high horse. Y'all motherfuckers ain't did shit since I've been alive. I can tell you that. So, Y'all went to that one championship game and got smoked. So fuck out of here. Join the ACC already. Big Ten, whatever. Do whatever.
Whatever.
Join one of them.
Hey, anytime I play NCAA 14, the first thing I do is throw their ass in the ACC.
Turn it up. They need that, man, because, well, one, the ACC needs it. A Notre Dame Clemson ACC championship game last year was the most entertaining thing that has been seen probably in about 5 or 6 years. And it wasn't even a good game, but I'm talking about just the hype that went into it. Ain't nobody was really giving that much of a fuck about the ACC championship game with Clemson in it. It's just been a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
But I also understand why, you know, they got their own TV deal with NBC, and they don't have to share that. Yeah. Like, that's just them. And they're a private school also, are they not?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. And then they do the Catholic and all that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Monetarily, it is definitely in their best interest to steal football away to themselves, but
like, they had the basketball players.
Yeah, they could always join the SEC. They could always join the SEC.
Ooh, that's – they like nah, they would not do that. They wouldn't do that.
They wouldn't travel like that. I take that back. They travel to fucking USC. And
they would take too many L's.
Every year. Too.
Yeah, I was going to say Indiana is far closer to –
yeah, they would just do Big Ten.
They're in Indiana, right?
I'm not – yeah. Indiana. Yeah, okay, they are. Cool.
I felt really bad as soon as I said it. I was like, damn, are they not in Indiana?
No. Sounds about white. I mean, right.
Freddie Gibbs is from Indiana.
Technically. Technically.
Michael, I mean, Gary's really like Michigan, though.
They say, they say Gary
or Illinois
is 30 minutes from Chicago.
Yeah. I think it splits Chicago and like.
Yeah.
Something else, actually.
Yeah, like he's like a Bears fan, a Bulls fan, all that shit. He said Pacers is KKK land. That's what he said.
And on that note, I've actually got a slide, gentlemen.
All right. Yes, sir. I was going to wrap it up anyways. Pick up podcast. We are out.
Chill.